Good evening. The first two songs we're going to sing tonight are going to be out of the Brown Book, and the last one will be out of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. So we'll start by singing number 6, Rock of Ages, all the verses. Song will be number 84, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Thank you.
Our last song will be out of the Trinity Psalter, number 531. And we will sing verses 2 and 4 a cappella.
Good evening to everyone. Welcome to all those who have come to worship this evening, and a special welcome to any visitors. I don't have any announcements or are there any prayer requests. Heather?
My mom had successful cataract surgery 2 weeks ago, and she passed the other eye this week. So we're praying for
her. Okay.
And then an update, my cousin that lives in Greensboro that has bladder cancer, he has been going for treatments, and they're like a trial treatment. So he has not, they've not found any more cancer. They say that it's not there right now. He does still have a mass in his bladder. But he's going to continue treatments for now. He still has some swelling in his legs, a little bit, but it's not bad. And they can't remove that mass or his bladder.
Okay, that's a cousin.
Yes.
Okay.
Cal.
Pardon?
Cal.
Okay. Yeah, I know your mother's name is Sandra. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I just want to give an update on Scott and Liz.
Yep.
Scott came home, I believe it was Wednesday, and they're both doing very well.
Very good. Okay. Lawrence? Okay. I think, Tony?
Yeah, just an update on Alan Waters. She's still having quite a bit of pain among some other complications in the fall. So the longer I've ever heard, she's
Okay. Any, yes? Yep.
And he has been in the hospital for 8 weeks and has just come home this week, which is a blessing. And he's along with those people. His family just really thankful he's home now. Not only his wife being able to go.
Okay. If that's all, then. I'd like to invite McGrail back to the pulpit again and stuff. Yep. Okay.
Good evening. The Lord call us to worship his name this evening. From Isaiah 25, verse 1. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Let's now turn our hearts to our Lord in preparation. Let's now stand to worship our Lord and to give him praise as he deserves. On hymn 241, O God, beyond all praising, let's stand to sing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's now confess our faith as we do it together using the Apostles' Creed, that we have it printed in our forms and prayers. I think everyone has one. Let's now confess together what we believe. Church of Christ, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Let's sing now another hymn, responding to our confession of faith and praising our Lord, our Almighty King. Let's praise him with hymn 222, Come Thou Almighty King, 222. Did it? Let's pray now. God Almighty, our only King and Redeemer, it's to you, O Lord, that we give glory and honor and worship, because there is none like you who created heaven and earth and who did everything for the glory of your name. To you, O Lord, we come asking your help and ask, O Lord, that you bless our minds this evening and that you apply, O Lord, your word through our hearts so we can, O Lord, not only be listeners of your word, but we can also practice it. We pray that you bless our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles now. On Psalm 130, Psalm number 130. Pay careful attention to the reading of God's word. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Kids, They love to ask questions. For example, my 3 years old daughter, she started asking me all these questions the other day. Like, for example, "Hey, Daddy, what is Satan?" Or, "What is heaven?" Or, "If God is everywhere, why do we pray to our Father in heaven?" And kids, they have questions. And as they grow, other questions, they're going to come up. They're going to be asking, "Where should I go to college?" Or asking, "With whom should I get married?" But there is a major, major question that everyone should be asking to himself. And that question is, how can I stand before God? This is a major question. How can we, with our sins, with our depravity, stand before holy and triune God at the last day of judgment? As we answer this question this evening, I want to show you that through Psalm 130, that Old Testament believers, they also knew the gospel that we know today. And it's clear stated here in this psalm, the psalm that was called by Martin Luther a Pauline psalm, because he saw so many doctrines in this psalm. He saw so many important doctrines of our faith in this psalm that he said, maybe Paul wrote that, because it teaches the same theology that Paul did in the New Testament. And as we look to this psalm, we're going to see a psalm this evening that Augustine, he put his hope in this psalm, that John Owen, he meditated on the psalm on times of difficulty in his life. And that's the same thing that we should do tonight. An important thing that we must learn from the psalm is what it says here in small words, in my Bibles, probably yours. It says that it is a song of ascent. What does it mean? It means that it part of a book inside the Psalms, Psalm 120 through 134, that the people from Israel, they used to sing in their way to celebrate the feasts in Jerusalem. So they had these 14 Psalms that they used to sing at least 3 times a year in their way in and back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles, and to celebrate the Feast of the Pentecostes. And those songs were songs that were preparing them to come before the Lord. They were in these Psalms from 120 to 134, confessing their sins. They were in these Psalms from 120 to 34, praising the Lord and preparing their hearts to come to the Lord in his holy temple, and to worship him. And as we look this psalm tonight, I want to divide the psalm in 3 parts. First, we're going to see the believer's confession, verse 1 and 3. And we're going to see after that, the believer's forgiveness. And after that, and between verse 5 and 8, we're going to see the believer's confident expectation. And as we look here, I hope you'll have your Bibles open. We see here the first things the psalmist who wrote this psalm, he's confessing his sin before the Lord. He says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord." And this word here, depths, is usually used in the Old Testament to talk about darkness and death. And if you remember the story of Jonah, you're going to remember that he says the same thing when he's inside the belly of the fish. And he cries to the Lord in the moment of death. He cries to the Lord asking the help of the Lord. And that's the same thing he says. So out of the depths, this confession, out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. The psalmist, he's confessing his sins and what his sins they do to him. And what sins they do to us. Because sins, they bring us to a state of darkness, to a state of death, to a state where we are separate of our communion with God. And therefore, we don't have his favor. And what the psalmist is doing here is confessing what sin does to his life. And what sin does to our relationship with God is that what we see in verse 3 and verse 1. And in verse 3, when he says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? I think many times we forget that the Lord, he sees every sin that we practice. Everything. He's everywhere. Every time that you sin, he's there. And he knows what you're doing. And the psalmist here, he says that the Lord, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? He's not saying here that the Lord, he doesn't remember our sins. We're told all over the Bible, and especially in Revelations, that the dead, they're judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. So the Lord, he knows, he takes notice of our sins, and he knows every single one of them. When we lie, when we don't honor our parents, our superiors and inferiors. He knows when we don't want to come to church because we want to stay home watching soccer, football. He knows every single one of our sins. And I think if God, he put in a list all of our sins and present before us, probably not even the world would be enough to keep a list of all our sins. And that's how we stand before the Lord. And that's exactly what the psalmist is doing here. He's saying, Lord, I am a sinful man. And if you don't provide a solution for my sin, I can't stand before you. Now, as we talk about sin, we need to think about two kind of people in the church that see a problem with this verse. And doesn't matter in what church you are always going to have these two kind of people. First is the one who says that he never sins, or she never sins. Or if they sin, they don't know it. And second is the one who says that sin's not a big deal. That's okay to sin. Don't we know people like that? There's no problem to sin, or I never sin. We know people like that. But to those people who think like that, I have a word from the Lord for you. I'm not a Pentecostal pastor, but I have a word from the Lord for you. And the Lord says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. And he keeps saying, Leviticus 5:17, if anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commandments, even though they do not know it, they are guilty and will be held responsible for them. Between you and the Lord, I save the words of the Lord. There is no righteous among us. The only righteousness person who ever lived is our Lord Jesus Christ. And for you who says that sin is not a big deal, read what Ezekiel has to say, Ezekiel 3:19. But if you do warn the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. In Exodus 32:33, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. So those two wrong ideas, they are totally contrary to the gospel. And as the psalmist confess here his sins, we also should confess our sins to the Lord. Because the Lord is a Lord of forgiveness. And that's what we see in verse 2 and 4. The believer forgiveness. The Old Testament believers, they knew that although they're sinful, although they had this desire to sin, they knew that they had a God of forgiveness, of mercy. And that's what we read here in verse 2. When the psalmist, he directs his word to the Lord, and he says, let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And this Hebrew word here used for mercy can also be translated as showing favor. And what the psalmist is doing here, the believer is doing here, he's asking to the Lord something that is undeserved. He's looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know that I don't deserve it, but have mercy on me. And then we see next in verse 4 that God, he has a solution for our sins. Because he's a God of forgiveness, and therefore he gives forgiveness to his people. And that's why the text says that, but with you, there is forgiveness. We know how we can come to the Lord and ask forgiveness. We do that through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But have you ever thought about how the people in the Old Testament, they came to Christ asking forgiveness? Have you thought about that? If they had the same gospel than we have, how did they do that? How did they come to the Lord? And how they approached the Lord if they were sinful people? And what we know is that the Lord gave them laws. And that God gave to them the ceremonial laws, the sacrifice, which of them they appointed to the person of Christ. And we read in Leviticus the ritual for the worshiper, the believer, to come and worship the Lord. And we see things there, that all of those rites, they pointed to Christ. What the believer, he did was, he came with what's called the presentation rite, which was served to symbolize the morality, blameless life that he had, a life of submission to the Lord. He comes and he brings a lamb and he presents the lamb to the priest as the one who is pure, who has no sin. And the priest, he comes and he slaughtered the lamb. He takes the blood and he burns it and he gives the benediction. And all these things that are done in the Old Testament was a way for the believer to approach God and to worship him. That's what we call the gate liturgy. There's a way, a gate for man to stand before God. Was this way, this provision that God made in the law, the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, for the believer to approach and to have forgiveness. We can add to that Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, where the sins of all the peoples are sent away by the priest that God called for that. So we can really see that the believer of the Old Testament, he had the same faith. He had the same faith that we had. He knew that he couldn't stand before God with his sins. He knew that he needed a solution for that. And God gave them a solution. And they knew that they could really forgive, could really have forgive and expect forgiveness for the Lord, from the Lord. And that's what we see all over the books of Psalms. Like, for example, Psalm 79, "Help us, God our Savior, for the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive us our sins." Or Psalm 85, "You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins." Or Psalm 86, "You, Lord, are forgiven and good." They knew that. They knew that they had a God, that they could come to him and ask for forgiveness. And the text tells us here, at the end of verse 4, that the result of the forgiveness of the Lord was that now they could fear the Lord. And the word here translated in the NIV has "with reverence and serve you." It's a single word, which means to fear. They knew the result of the forgiveness was to fear the Lord. And the forgiveness of God is not an end in itself, but it makes possible that glorification of God that is the primary end of our lives. The sinning believer's obligation in the forgiveness is increased. Because God gave him forgiveness, now his obligation to the Lord is increased. Isn't that what we just did this morning? We read the Ten Commandments as a rule of gratitude to the Lord. That's what we did this morning. Because we received his forgiveness. And now as a way of gratitude, we are commanded, and with a full heart, we want to obey his law. And the third thing that we see here in this text is the believer confident expectation. We see that through verse 5 and 8, we see that the believers, they knew that the law and the sacrifices, they were not enough. They knew that they needed something else. And that's why the psalmist, he says, "My soul waits for the Lord, and in his words I put my hope." And which words are those? Those are the promises of God. The promise that God would one day give a final solution for the problem of sin. That one day God, he would send the one who would crush the head of the serpent, the one who would make his people a holy nation of priests, and who would end forever the problem of sin in the life of his people. And that's in that hope that the believer here, he hopes for. And that's why he says in verse 6, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. The psalmist, he longs for relief. And he longs that as the watchman watches over the towns to protect the towns during the night, as the watchman, he waits for the morning so he can go rest and have peace. In the same way, the psalmist is waiting here for the promises of the Lord. He knows that the sacrifice is not enough. He knows that something was to come. And that's why he expressed it here twice, the same thing, to put an emphasis on what he's saying, on his hope that he had. And in the first, in this next thing on verse 7, the next verse, he says, he turns now to the third person. He says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. And now he turns to one of the attributes of God. God does not change. He's unchangeable. He's immutable. And because he's immutable, his promises, they will never change. And because he doesn't change, his love towards his people will never change. We change. We have a friend, and the next day we wake up and say, you know what? I don't like that guy anymore. He's not my friend. But God, he doesn't change. God, he's not going to wake up one day and say, you know that people, they're so sinful, they're bad people. I don't want to love them anymore. God is never going to do that. And knowing that God, he never changes, it gives us security of salvation, doesn't it? If the God who one day gave us salvation and chose us before the foundation of the world to be his people and elect us in Jesus Christ, he'll never change what he did. And the psalmist here, he knows that. And that's why he puts all his hope on the single attribute of God, a God of unchangeable love. And as he goes, he says, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel. Redemption means the purchase of a slave with a view to set his free. So Israel here is called to keep on hoping for this, expecting for it, and looking for it, and preparing for it, for the full redemption that would come in the person of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we read in Galatians 4:5, that Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God's through Christ. Brothers, we live in a time of full redemption. The believers of the Old Testament, they are saved as they look to the redemption, to the Redeemer that would come. And we now, We are saved as we look to the Redeemer that came. It's the same gospel. We are sinful people. We need someone to redeem us, to make atonement for us, to justify us before God. We need a full redemption. We need Jesus Christ. The same gospel that they had in the Old Testament, we have now. But as we end, let me make some few applications of this text to us tonight. Do you understand the gravity of sin? Do you understand what sin it does to your life? We are told in 1 John 3, no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. And pay careful attention to what he's going to say now. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil. And who are the children of the devil. Do you see what sin it does to you? If you are born of God, you should not be sinning. What he's saying here is that you will not continue in the habit of sin. But if you are not born of God, if you're the children of the devil, you're going to have pleasure in sinning. And therefore, eternal death is waiting for you. Hell is waiting for you. And as we think in our lives and we look to ourselves, we should look to ourselves as the psalmist he does here, as the God's word teaches us to do, looking to ourselves as sinners and knowing that sin brings us to the depths. Because that's what sin brings, darkness and death to our lives. But we also have a hope here in this text. We have a hope of forgiveness. And that's why the Apostle John, who wrote this in 1 John 3, he also writes in 1 John 1, 9. And he tells us to confess our sins. Because the Lord our God, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. God, he gave us a solution for our sins in Jesus Christ. But as we talk about forgiveness, do you know there are people who can never forgive themselves? Maybe you here, sitting here tonight, is one of that people, that kind. You think that your sin is so bad, that God, he cannot forgive you. And even if God could forgive you, you cannot forgive yourself. And therefore, because that, you think that you should not partake of the Lord's Supper. Because you think that even though the Lord promises and forgives you, you cannot forgive yourself. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible never talks about anything about we need to forgive ourselves. But the Bible gives us confidence that we have a God who is merciful, who is graceful, and who forgives us. And that's where we put our hope on. Do you know how we can be right before God? Do you have hope in eternal life? This psalm starts with darkness and the misery of sin. Sin, but it ends offering hope. Hope in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. This hope of eternal life, Christ, he offers to everyone here tonight. Maybe you grew up in a Christian church and you were never saved. You love to sin and you have pleasure in sinning. God offers hope for you tonight. Doesn't matter what sin you have committed. Doesn't matter if you kill someone. Doesn't matter if you steal. Doesn't matter what you're doing right now. Our God is powerful to forgive you. And that's the hope that we have in him. That he's a merciful God. That he sent his only son to die for us. So that now we could have full redemption in Jesus Christ. Let's pray now. God, our Lord and Savior, to whom and for you is all the glory and honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers in the past who could look to your word and see, O Lord, the promise of full redemption in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in living a time where we can look to your word and see that your Lord already accomplished full redemption for us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't rest in ourselves for our salvation, but we rest in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We praise you, Lord, for saving us and for taking us, O Lord, from our misery and sins and giving us eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now respond to the preaching of God's word by singing the song number 8 on the Brown Books, There is a Redeemer. Let's all stand to sing and to praise our Lord and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Number 8.
Let's come before the Lord in a congregational prayer. Lord, we come to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, acknowledging your sovereignty, your righteousness, and your holiness. We thank you for this day of rest you have created for us and the opportunity, privilege, and freedom we have once again to gather with fellow believers to hear your word and to offer you our praise and adoration, for you alone are worthy, for you alone have the words to eternal life, the words of grace and peace given to us through the redeeming and reconciling and finished work of Jesus. We thank you for revealing your truths to us by and through the indwelling of your Spirit in our hearts and minds. Help us to meditate, to ponder, and to contemplate your faithfulness and love to us. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen and increase our faith and our devotion to you, that we would continually grow in the grace and knowledge of your word and strive to walk in your ways. Forgive us when we have fallen short and transgressed against your holy name. Keep us from sin, temptation, and the snares of the evil one. Help us not to give in to the influences of the world. We pray for hearts and minds of discernment that we can see not only the sins of the world, but also the sins within our own hearts. Help us to daily crucify the old nature and to put on the new nature, which is the mind and attitude of Christ. Purify us and sanctify us for your honor and glory. Help us to love and forgive others as you have loved and forgiven us. Help us to have the right biblical perspective of the world we live in. Help us not to be envious and jealous of the prosperity of the proud or be dismayed as they scoff and ridicule your name and those that believe in you. Help us not to store treasures here on earth where they can erode and be destroyed or be stolen. Help us to store our treasures in heaven where they cannot be stolen or destroyed. For our treasure is, there our heart will be ours also. We thank you that Miguel could be with us today to bring us your word. We pray that you would watch over him and guide and bless his decisions and use him for the building up and equipping of your church, wherever that might be. Will you grant traveling mercies and safe return to Greenville? Lord, we thank you for your church here in Pantego. We pray that we would be a faithful church, that we would be a light and witness to the surrounding community, and that you would bless our fellowship with one another. Help us to encourage and build up one another up in the faith and in our love to you, to serve you and each other. We ask that you would bless the efforts put forth as a new season begins of Bible studies and Sunday school lessons. We thank you for those willing to teach and ask that you equip them for the tasks and responsibilities you put before them. We pray for spiritual growth in the lives of those who attend and participate, that there would be a desire to grow in your grace and knowledge, so your people, the sheep of your flock, would walk in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake and for your honor and glory. Help us to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We ask, Lord, that you be with our elderly, the widows, the widower, and those with failing health. We pray for your sustaining spirit for the suffering and struggles that are being experienced. We ask that you would grant to each the measure of grace that is needed, that in our suffering we would not begin to doubt you, but we would be drawn closer to you, knowing that you care for us and our times and lives are in your all-providing hand. We pray, O Lord, that you continue to be with Helen Myers, who's experiencing pain, that they might be able to be find relief from her pain and the source could be found out too. And we pray, O Lord, for your comfort and your peace. And we pray that you would be with Ellis also. And we pray too, O Lord, that you would be with those who care for Helen and Ellis, that you here too, that you would grant them your strength and watch over them day by day. We thank you too, O Lord, that Sandra could have a successful cataract surgery on one eye and that she is going this week again. We pray too, O Lord, that this procedure could also be successful. And we pray here too that you would grant her peace as this procedure is undertaken also. And we pray too, O Lord, that you would be with Heather's cousin Cal, that he no longer has bladder cancer, but has other conditions that need looked into and concerns. And we pray that here too, that your guiding hand would be upon those and upon the decisions that are made, that there might be healing here too. We thank you too, O Lord, for that Scott and Liz have come through the coronavirus and are doing well again. And here we thank you too, O Lord, because when someone has this, we do have our concerns, and yet, Lord, we know that you watch over us and that you are the great physician. And we thank you, O Lord, for this. We ask you to continue to be with the Pinkhams, with Al also. We thank you too, O Lord, that Linwood Adams could return from the hospital after a long stay. And here too, we ask for continual healing and for your grace. And we realize that they are thankful too, and that they might experience your grace from day to day. And we thank you too, O Lord, that Mark could show compassion and Christian love to those who showed up at his door. And we know, O Lord, this is what you call us to do, to be the good Samaritan, to love our neighbors, whoever those neighbors might be. And we pray, O Lord, that this person who he helped has lost a child and has lost his wife earlier, that this person would know you or would come to know you, and that you would grant the comfort and the peace that only you could give. We pray, O Lord, for your continual peace and drawing him to yourself also. We pray for your church throughout the world, for those who are persecuted, for their faith in you. Will you protect and watch over them and use their witness to strengthen your church and call others to a saving faith and knowledge in your Son, Jesus? We ask that you would continue to bless the work of Reverend Neil Hageman and Reverend Alan Vanderpoel and others involved in the immense ministry and the efforts put forth in seeking to train others to bring your word to the lost. We ask that you bless the work of Mark and Carla and their family in Uganda. We pray for health and strength and protection for their family. We pray too, Lord, that you watch over and bless the work of Eric and Stacy and keep them and their family in your care. Lord, we ask that you would bless the efforts put forth by those doing works of mercy in your name, seeking to bring your word to the lost. Lord, as we hear and see the disasters from storms, fires, and winds, we are reminded that the whole world is groaning under the curse and waiting for your return when all things will be made new. Lord, we pray for your mercy, care, and protection for all those affected by loss of homes, property, livelihood, and life itself. We pray that in the difficult times that people experience, it would be a time of reflection and turning to you and putting trust, faith, and confidence for their lives in your hand. We ask, Lord, that you be with us in the upcoming week, where you guide and direct us and keep us in your care from sin and temptation. Help us to be your witness in our endeavors and to those you put us in contact with. We ask now you accept our offerings and use them for the building up of your kingdom. Will you bless the work of the Gideons? Will you bless the work of the deacons? We ask these things in Christ our Savior's name. Amen. There'll be two offerings, one for the general fund, the other one for the Gideons, and a hymn afterwards is 4,000 Tongues to Sing, number 291, verses 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Receive now the Lord's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.